This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Welcome to the TriDot Podcast, everyone. Today, we'll be talking all about your hopes, your dreams, your triathlon desires. It's our start of the year goal setting episode. We all know that in many avenues of our life, the start of a new year is a great time to reflect on where we've been and, more importantly, think through where we want to go next. Our coaches joining me today have helped hundreds of athletes accomplish their multi-sport goals, and will be talking us through the why, how, who, what, and when of goal setting for our season. First up today is Coach John Mayfield. A successful Ironman athlete himself, John leads TriDot's Athlete Services, Ambassador, and Coaching Programs. He has coached hundreds of athletes ranging from first-timers to Kona qualifiers and professional triathletes. John has been using TriDot since 2010 and coaching with TriDot since 2012. Mr. John Mayfield, how's it going today?
It's going great. Off to a great start. Beautiful day. Excited to get going.
Glad to hear it. Next up is pro triathlete and coach Elizabeth James. Elizabeth came to the sport from a soccer background and quickly rose through the triathlon ranks using TriDot, from a beginner to a top age grouper and professional triathlete. She is a Kona and Boston Marathon qualifier who has coached triathletes with TriDot since 2014. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Andrew. I have been so excited about this episode. I love goal setting. I love setting intentions and talking about establishing some positive habits. I love planning. So I just cannot wait to talk about this episode today.
Perfect. And who am I? I am Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people, and the captain of the middle of the pack. We'll get going today with a warm-up question and then dive into the main set conversation, covering all the reasons to set goals for the upcoming year. Then I'll cool us down by introducing you to a couple of really cool tools that I found that can hopefully help us all stay on track with our current goals. It's going to be great. Let's get to it.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
Whether it's a local race or a destination Ironman, most races offer some form of on-course nutrition to help us out on race day. At an Ironman event, there is typically an assortment of bananas, cookies, pretzels, Clif Bars, gels, Coke, Gatorade, Red Bull, water, broth, and I'm sure I'm missing some. But John, Elizabeth, if you could add any food and or beverage to the Ironman aid station that they do not usually have, what would you select? John?
So I'm actually pretty happy with the offerings specifically at Ironman. My go-to is Coke. I love it on the course and off the course. And as a Texan, Coke refers to a lot of different things.
Anything brown and bubbly.
Yeah, exactly. especially when I get on the run course at Ironman, that actually becomes kind of my default nutrition.
Do you take Coke at every aid station on Ironman?
Pretty much.
Do you drink more Coke than water?
Sometimes for better or for worse. I have had that so that and things like chicken broth I don't know who came up with chicken broth on an Ironman run course, but it's fantastic. It's genius, especially when it gets late and cold. That's amazing. The same sports drink for 12 hours certainly gets old and all, but I would say the one thing that if I could add is the one thing I always talk about having in my special needs bags is some candy. So my special bags default is some Sour Patch Kids.
Yes.
So if I didn't have to go to my special needs bags to get some Sour Patch Kids and they had those out of the aid stations, I think that'd be pretty cool.
They have a Sour Patch Kids cereal now, which to me just ain't right.
Yeah, that's not okay.
So Elizabeth James, what about you? What would you add to the Ironman aid station?
So kind of like John was saying, I would want something that I bring myself that would be at the aid stations that I would not have to bring myself. So you can. I'd love if you can, were on course so that I didn't have to supply it on my own. I mean, I also think it's a great product that everyone would benefit from utilizing in their race day nutrition strategy. So that's what I would say on course. I guess on course, I'm thinking very practical, but can we talk about the post-race food tent? I'd like to put a request in there for ice cream. Ice cream in Kona post-race. Fantastic idea. And I would love to see that cool treat in more of those post-race food tents.
Yeah, I work with some youth triathlon teams, and at most of the youth races, especially here in Texas in the summer, they'll have like a variety of like the little ice pops that you put in the freezer, like little freezer stick. I don't know what those are called, but
popsicles. They're called popsicles.
They're called just popsicles. But they pass those out to the kids post race, and I'm always like, where are these at the adult races, so we can help cool down a little bit after the hot race, right? Mm-hmm. But so usually for the warm up questions, I write these, you know, I put them in, so I know what's coming. You guys are usually surprised by them. I know what's coming. So I usually have time to think this through in advance. Today, I put this question in, moved on, kept writing, and have not thought this through. So while you guys were talking, I was like, man, what would I want on the aid station course? And so, John, I'm like you on the beverage. I really enjoy the Coke. Just every aid station, I just sip a water, sip a Coke, keep going, which is funny. Like, I was never really a big soda drinker until the very first, it wasn't even my first Ironman event. I think it was like my third half Ironman. I tried Coke on course for the first time, and it was a game changer. I was like, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. And now, like, either just at dinner, like every now and then I'll order a Coke because it's like, I don't know, it's
nostalgic. Takes you back to the race course.
Yeah, it takes
you
back to the race course.
I feel like I'm racing.
Yeah. So I can't think of another beverage I would want besides the Coke water on course, but for a snack, and they already have pretzels. And so this kind of, you know, you're taking gels that are always fruity flavors. You're taking, you know, you're drinking your Yukon Elizabeth. You're drinking whatever your beverage is, and they're never salty in their flavor. So I always like having just like a salty snack, like crunchy snack to chew on. So I'll grab the pretzels and have some pretzels here and there, but a far superior salty, crunchy snack to the pretzel is the Cheez-It. Mm. There is no crunchy snack more superior than the Cheez-It. I love Cheez-Its. I have Cheez-Its all the time. You will never walk into the Harley household and open up the pantry and not see a box of family-sized Cheez-Its for me and my wife. We go through them like crazy. They're just nice, classic, salty carbs. And if Iron Man would add Cheez-Its, just maybe in the little bags, you just grab a bag and go and munch on it, chew on it, that would really help me cut through all the little sweet gels.
Get you to the next aid station.
Yep.
There's Cheez-Its.
Pop him. Yep. Cheez-Its, Coke, and water. Get me through the marathon.
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
So I'm going to open today with a slight apology to all of our listeners. We all, in every avenue of life, when we see kind of any sort of list, it's always the who, what, where, when, why, how of doing something, right? And today we're going a little unconventional, because when we started thinking through all the questions we would have on setting goals, we identified, instead of the who, what, where, when, why, how, this is the why, how, who, what, when of goal setting. And we don't even have a where. Right, we just threw where out the window. You can set a goal anywhere, people. But today we wanted to talk through the why, how, who, what, when. Elizabeth, John, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue quite as naturally that way. But it's the way to go, right? It's the way to go today. So in talking through goal setting, let's start off with the W-H, what, when, all those words, the why. Why do we set goals as triathletes?
So when we're setting goals, it's not just for the sake of writing them down. This isn't, you know, a New Year's resolution that's going to be broken in 2 weeks or an unattainable wish. Goals are going to help identify your direction, your process. They're going to help you determine some actionable items. They help establish your priorities. I kind of like to say that, you know, we set goals to provide some long-term vision and some short-term motivation.
So in triathlon, we have, there are things we want to achieve. And oftentimes we approach these on a year-by-year basis. The triathlon season is seasonal. So every year we have a new opportunity to set forth new ambitions, to do new things. Sometimes it's doing something new. Sometimes it's going back and doing something we've done in the past and maybe doing it better, or in our case, oftentimes faster.
Faster.
So
to go farther, faster.
So when we set goals, it puts a lot of this into context. So we don't just go out and train. We don't just go out and pick a race, sign up for a race, do all this training to be ready for a race, do the race, and then it's over. So when we set goals, it allows us to somewhat qualify what we're doing.
So somewhat contextualize your season. Yeah.
Yeah. And then as we'll talk through, having that goal can then establish certain actions, and Elizabeth mentioned that as well. So it's a great way to even enhance what we're already doing. So oftentimes, maybe the race is already set. You signed up for an Ironman a year out. Now, here we are early in the year, the season is starting. What are my goals around that race, that event that's already there? Or maybe it's something that an athlete does every year. What do I want it to look like this year? What is my goal? What is my ambition? And oftentimes, that's the case for seasoned athletes, is we'll go and do the same race every year, year after year. And at some point, it's kind of like, well, it's just doing the same thing again. But if we can go and we can create a new goal, it's going to provide some freshness to that. It's going to be a fresh outlook. There's going to be a new excitement to it. And it's something to work towards. So it's things like motivation and accountability and all these things that make us better will come when we have that goal, and when we, as we'll discuss, evaluate that goal and update that goal as the process occurs. So setting these goals can really qualify and even enhance what we're necessarily already doing. So just because we have a goal, it doesn't mean we have to go and create something new. It's really more so of how do we want to approach what we're already doing sometimes.
So Elizabeth, I know for you, goal setting and being intentional is really important. And you joked on the podcast before, joking but not joking, about how you literally have a sign in your pain cave that reminds you to be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you, you have your athletes that you coach at the beginning of the season do this. Sit down, identify their goals for the year, and you talk to them about it. John, sitting right here with us, John is your coach. And you guys were telling me before we started recording that you guys had a 3-hour phone call the other day.
Yeah.
Just to talk through, and you didn't mean for it to go that long, but it was just, you know, hey, let's talk about Elizabeth James, professional triathlete. What are my goals for the season? And you guys talked 3 hours about that and feel like you still have a little bit more to talk about. So I know, I say all that to say, I know goal setting is really close to your heart for all those reasons of being intentional. So as a coach, you know, what difference have you seen goal setting make for your athletes? And what difference has it made for you as an athlete?
Yeah, there's a lot there. And as you very well stated, it is an intentional process for me. I would say that, you know, the structures and the purposeful planning associated with goal setting is very much a positive carryover from my profession in education previously. I assign homework to my coached athletes, much like I did to my students in the classroom. And the assignment that I give to my athletes is to, you know, set a big goal that they want to accomplish in 1 to 2 years. And then from there, we kind of work backwards and establish some logical goals for the short term and the midterm, usually kind of 3 months or 6 to 9 months from now, that's going to help us work toward that long-term goal. And so a lot of the things that we said, you know, about why we're setting goals to help determine those actionable items in the short term as we're really looking long-term with what we hope to do, helping establish those priorities. This, you know, process has been a very beneficial thing for me as an athlete and just a great way to shape some conversations about enhancing the entire triathlon experience for the athletes that I work with.
As you progress as an athlete, you know, we talk about how, you know, you started off just as an age grouper, you've worked your way to being a top age grouper and now a pro. How has your personal goals developed over the years? Like what are some concrete examples of goals you've set over the years
When I was starting off, a lot of the goals were to get to the finish line.
Yeah.
And so I remember, you know, when I first started working with John in 2014, one of our first conversations was about my goal to finish my first Ironman and to become an Ironman, to get to that finish line. And then, you know, once that goal was accomplished, then it was a new discussion of, okay, what's next? That, you know, we've met that goal. Let's establish a new long-term goal and let's set up, you know, some things along the way that are going to help us get to that point. I distinctly remember the debriefing conversation that we had after Ironman Wisconsin. And I had told him that, you know, someday,
which that was your first one, right?
Yes.
Wisconsin.
Yep. That someday I want to race in Kona. And, you know, that was the big,
and that became the big
long-term goal. And, you know, it was out there. But then we also needed to kind of go back, as I've mentioned with the athletes that I coach, and think about, okay, so what is that going to look like in the next 3 months? What is that going to look like in the next 6 months? It was a good year and a half after racing Ironman Wisconsin before I did another full. And so, you know, that wasn't just going to be a goal that was 2 years out there and the only thing down on paper. We established some things along the way to really make that goal a reality.
So we've talked a little bit about the why, and now I think the biggest thing to cover is the how. You know, it's I think we all recognize it's important to set goals, and but for a lot of folks, it's how do we do that? And some people are better at that than others. I'm probably the athlete who's like, oh yeah, I just signed up for this race and I want to finish it in under this time, and that's, you know, to me that becomes the goal setting, but there's a little bit more to it than that. So let's get in a little bit, John, about how do we set goals? Where do we start?
So I just want to echo Elizabeth's statements there in that really, even for me personally, seeing the way that she has throughout this whole process, as she mentioned, always had a goal and done what was necessary to achieve those goals. And she's done a fantastic job of doing that. And it's admirable to see that. And even for me, I'm kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum. Elizabeth is one of those people that writes down everything, makes lists, and she's fantastic at writing down these goals and all these steps that she needs to achieve them. And then she's even better at knocking them out. I'm kind of on that opposite end of the spectrum of kind of more laid back, more just kind of go with the flow. I don't write down a whole lot of stuff. But for me, even seeing the power of that and seeing that initial goal that she had to finish Ironman on paper and then being able to check that off and then moving on through these other goals. And now there's a lot of great stuff in the works. So we're not done there. So I'm excited to see where that process continues too.
I know that, and Elizabeth touched on this a little bit, on how that there's a difference for her on, you know, the long-term goal, you know, was Ironman, and then it became, you know, qualify for Kona at Ironman, and that was the long-term goal, and then there were short-term goals along the way. John, how do you talk to athletes about establishing their short-term and long-term goals?
So I think oftentimes it can start as what are their expectations and what are their ambitions, which is kind of a goal. But you can even kind of start on that higher level of, you know, for this season, and maybe even higher than that, of in your triathlon career. We know for most folks it's somewhere between 5 and 10 years the triathlon typical career will last. And, you know, start with what do you want to achieve? Why are you doing this? Is this a health thing? Is it a competition thing? Is it a social thing? So then once you identify what it is that you're in this for, then you can set things in place that are going to help you enjoy it.
I'm in it for the on-course Coke.
Yeah, the free Coke, free quote-unquote. And then from there, you get more specific. You know, it's in this year. What do you want to do in this year? And as I mentioned before, you may already have like races and events that are already already on the schedule and already on the books. It's like, okay, well, what is the purpose of this season? And then what is the purpose of each one of these events? And what do you look to achieve? And, you know, it doesn't all have to be centered around a race. You know, as triathletes, typically we all want to get faster, stronger. We want to see our split times drop. We want to see our power numbers go up, that sort of thing. You know, things like our weaknesses. You know, it's do you need to spend a season focusing on your swim? Do you want to come out of this year a more efficient swimmer, kind of a thing? So there are a lot of things that we can do in establishing these goals. So it's really what do you want to achieve? And then from there, set those goals that are going to put the actions in place so that that is achieved at the end of the year, end of the season, or at the end of your triathlon career.
Yeah. So if a long-term goal is to maybe land a certain time on an Ironman, maybe the short-term goal is improve your swim to a certain place or improve your bike power to a certain place so that you can finish that Ironman at that certain time.
Yeah, and there are 100 different variables, 100 different short-term goals that you could go that you could set that conceivably would propel you to that bigger goal.
So yeah, John, let's talk about kind of some of the different goals athletes can set, because I think to a lot of us, when we think goal setting, my mind automatically goes to time-based goals, right? I want to finish this distance in this time. I want to finish this distance in that time. I want to get faster. I mean, finish an Ironman. I mean, we're all thinking of those kind of high-level time-based race day goals. But sometimes there's more to it than that. So what are some examples of goals athletes can have that maybe aren't race day based?
So specifically in triathlon, there's a lot of things that we can do that are apart from or separate from that time-based goal or distance-based goal that will set us up and increase our chances and can even be used as a strategy to achieve that goal. So these are more intermediate goals. It's what are those things that I need to do in the interim that is going to set me up for success as I approach this goal, whether it be years away or months away. What can I do today to set myself up for success in that goal? And that's actually something I ask Elizabeth on a regular basis, as you know, she's coming into her race season and there are events on the schedule. It's all about what can I do today to maximize results on race day. So kind of a little side conversation, but you know, oftentimes or sometimes that has nothing to do with swimming, biking, or running. Generally it does. You know, what is the best workouts we can do today for that? But sometimes, you know, it's scratching a workout. Sometimes it's modifying a workout. Sometimes it's sleeping in or taking the day off because that's what the body needs. And even those can be intermediate goals of having that. And I would say even an example of some of those non-race day goals would be things like that, to be flexible. Have that as a goal. If you are so regimented and so structured that you get stressed out and worried and just hate a day where you can't get in a workout, or you get in a workout when perhaps you shouldn't, that can be a goal. That's what we kind of refer to as more of these lifestyle goals of having some balance and some structure in there that provides for that. So, you know, that's not for everybody. Some folks need that regimented obligation to get up every day and do their sessions. But there's certainly a sweet spot. So it's so for some, a goal can be I want to be more consistent. That's kind of where I land naturally. I mentioned before, I'm kind of laid back, go with the flow. And so for me,
but for some people, it's hard to lay down that workout.
Exactly.
And it's hard to walk away and go to that family event that came up, or to lay off a day because maybe their body's not up to it and they need a little rest. Like
exactly.
Some people, that's a hard pill to swallow.
And I work with a lot of those athletes and have over the years. So I absolutely empathize. Again, it's not me so much, but you know, to an extent it is. But yeah, you know, set up those goals that allow you to be successful on race day. So again, if being more flexible, if being more relaxed in your approach to your training is going to set up your overall training better, or again on the opposite end of the spectrum of setting the goal of I want to get in at least 6 days a week of my training. And, you know, if you've been getting four, six is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
You're going to see big gains from that. And that's going to propel you towards the goal. And then there's all these other things that are somewhat lifestyle related that will absolutely have positive impacts on race day. So some of the super common ones are, you know, improving diet. You know, maybe it's kicking the Diet Coke habit, or removing some of those unhealthy habits that you have.
If you're you know, focused on your time and you're just really pounding the swim, bike, and run sessions, hoping to improve your time, but your diet is just, you know, you're having Taco Bell for dinner every night.
Right.
Well, I mean, you clean up your diet and you're gonna get way. It's gonna
absolutely
go more towards,
yeah,
your time.
So again, what are those things that are holding you back, and what can you do to mitigate those and to remove those as obstacles? So make that a goal. And you know, as I approach this A race, as I approach my Ironman, as I approach my whatever, I'm gonna ambition to clean up my diet, and that's that first step. And that's oftentimes the easy step. And as we'll talk about in a minute, it's what comes next. How is this executed? How is this evaluated? The classic is weight loss.
Yeah.
You know, that's another one.
If you're doing Ironman Lake Placid this year, your goal should be to drop 10 pounds before you get to that race.
Yeah, almost if you're at a healthy weight, you need to drop 10 pounds for Lake Placid. But, you know, that's something that a lot of athletes face. I've always been an athlete that's carried around more pounds than I wish I did. And so as I have approached A races in the past, that's always been something for me, is that I've wanted to drop as much weight as I could while maintaining my training and all that, so in a healthy way. And again, those are really more so lifestyle things that have an impact on racing. So reducing stress is huge. Improving amount of sleep and sleep quality, those can have huge impacts on race day.
If you're not sleeping enough at night, I mean, maybe a good goal for the year is, hey, let's try to get 7, 8, 9 hours of sleep a night. Let's try to keep our body rested and recovered and ready to keep pounding.
And even if that means missing a training session or two per week, you know, depending on how extensive the sleep deprivation is,
yeah,
you're better off missing a training session and sleeping in. So it's all about, again, what can we do every day to set ourselves up for success on race day?
Some people are going to just hear you say that and be like, Coach John said that I can sleep in and never train. That's more important for my body. Context, people, context. You heard what the man said.
But it is super important. And I guess if I could just provide a concrete example with, you know, these lifestyle goals and how they go into both the short and long-term goals. I'm currently working with an athlete, and, you know, their big goal 1 to 2 years from now is to complete an Ironman. But they know that there are some things in the short term that they need to address before, you know, taking on the training to do an Ironman,
yeah,
would really be a realistic, attainable, possible goal for them. And so in the next year, they are working on cleaning up their diet and establishing, you know, better sleep routines. Because right now, you know, they're not fueling in a way and not sleeping enough to really sustain a training load.
An Ironman training load,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
And so if we address those things first, establish some great habits, then, you know, the possibility of doing an Ironman and training for that in a safe and productive way to really maximize their potential does become a realistic long-term goal. And so it's there. I mean, it's, you know, already established that's,
yeah,
that's a dream, that's a goal. And there's some things that are not race specific. There are no specific race goals, triathlon goals at all for this athlete in the upcoming year. But that's long-term what they can, you know, be looking forward to.
And whether it's Ironman or not, I mean, their entire health,
mm-hmm,
and any, whether it's a sprint or an Ironman, like better nutrition, better sleep practices now will just lead to a better fitness life for years and years and years. Like the payoff is huge.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even though it's not focused on this season. So I wonder how many people enter an Ironman race phase or whatever their A race is, you know, and while gearing up for that A race, that's when they're focusing on trying to clean up the diet and trying to establish good, healthy sleep patterns. And it's a lot, that's a lot to focus on all at once alongside of your training. But if you establish it first and get good at those little things first, it's going to help you out down the road once you get in that training cycle.
I was going to echo that as well. So the sooner you can have the goal of prioritizing recovery, or have the goal of implementing strength training into your training regimen, as you then approach those later on, and as your training becomes more intensive, as your training becomes either higher intensity or higher volume later in the season as your race approaches, that's already going to be there. So those are great intermediate goals that are going to set you up to where you don't have to implement all these things all at once. So again, your training is going to be tough enough. You don't want to have to throw in there trying to sleep in, trying to eat good, trying to add strength training and recovery and all these other things. Do that now. Earlier in the year, typically, there's lower training volume, so there's more time. You have that fresh start, so it's kind of easier to implement some of these things. So oftentimes, these goals can then become habits. So that's a great thing, is if these lifestyle goals, initially, it may be something that has to be worked on, that I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to the gym and do strength training 3 days a week, or I'm going to do recovery sessions 3 times a week. As they are goals, maybe for the first quarter of the year, throughout that first quarter, those goals have now become habits to where they're just part of your lifestyle now and part of your training regimen.
Would you look at that? Goals becoming habits. That's the dream, right? I know for me, I just talking this out, but without even realizing it, like one of the things I've been focusing on here at the start of the year is stretching more, foam rolling more after hard sessions, particularly, making sure that I'm keep staying loose and flexible. And because my whole triathlete life, my whole sporting life, like, I mean, I've seen it, like, if I work stretching into my regular routine, I usually stay fairly pretty injury free. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I start neglecting that, things get tight, IT bands start acting up, knees, joints feel funny, like, and it reminds me, I need to start stretching. So going into the year, I hadn't really consciously made that a goal, like, oh, hey, this is gonna be a short term goal that's gonna help me in my goal of finishing Ironman Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of what that is. That's the short term goal that I'm doing right now in my life as a lifestyle goal. Hey, let's get on top of that. Let's every single day try to work 30, 45 minutes of just stretching in. That's going to pay off huge in my Ironman training and whatnot. So without even realizing it, I was doing that, and I bet a lot of you listening have things you're trying to work on heading into the year that are great lifestyle goals. So keep them up, people. So again, in thinking through the how and how to set goals, I think a lot of people come to us at TriDot as athletes and they say, hey, I want to break 6 hours and a half Ironman this year. I want to go sub 11 in a full. I want to go sub 6 in my Ironman bike split. And they have kind of specific time goals. And they come to us as coaches and say, can TriDot get me there? John, what would you have to say to folks that are entering the season with that kind of a mindset? They're looking for TriDot to help them deliver on a certain race day time goal.
This is a very common question. It's very prevalent in the space, and something I've seen. I kind of have to shake my head at oftentimes that is the primary goal when an athlete is approaching a coach or a training system and they have that time-based goal, and really without reference or context, oftentimes the coaches say, yeah, we can get you to sub 11 and whatever the case may be, when really they're just blowing smoke because they really don't know. And TriDot, again, is different in many ways. And this is one of the ways that TriDot is different. Every training plan created by TriDot has really two ambitions. We want to maximize the potential of each individual athlete. And then kind of the little caveat behind that is keeping them healthy. So those are the two primary focuses, two primary objectives of every TriDot triathlon training plan, or TriDot training in general, not even necessarily the plan. But that's what we look to do, is maximize the individual potential of each athlete and keep them healthy, because the potential is no good if they're injured. So that is actually how the TriDot training plans are created. They're not based around a number or a time. It's every phase, every session maximizes the potential of each athlete. So what we get into here is, and we'll talk about this more as we discuss through goals, is are your goals realistic? So that can be something that's very relevant in this case, is if your goal is a sub 11 Ironman, but really your potential is 12, you're kind of fishing in the wrong pond. And that's not a personal slam or anything like that, but
you are where you are.
We have limitations.
Yeah.
And not everybody's going to go sub 11 in an Ironman, and that's okay. But what are you possible? What's out there for you? Or vice versa. What if your goal is sub 11 and you should be down in the 10:30 timeframe? You know, what if you're, how, where does that number come from? What does that number mean? And that's really where we take a step back and say, have those time goals, chase your times, do the work, let those motivate you. But what TriDot is doing is maximizing the individual potential. It's everything is individualized down to the athlete. So it's less about the time and more about what, as an athlete, are you possible? What is possible for you? And then let's get into those prescriptive analytics to say, here's what we do to maximize your potential at this race.
Yeah. So if I come as an athlete and I'm going to use myself as an example, at the time we're recording this, I have Ironman Texas in a few months, and I know I should land somewhere between 11:50 and 12:50, right? Somewhere in that hour is where I'm probably going to land. And so if my goal, if I came to TriDot and was like, hey, I want to go sub 11. Okay, well, I plug in my assessments and TriDot sees the 10K I'm capable of, the 400, you know, yard swim I'm capable of, the 20 minute FTP, you know, power that I have right now. Like my body physiologically in the next 3 months is not capable of an 11 hour Ironman. It's just not, right? So the important thing might be knowing, okay, like I punch in those assessments and I see where I'm at in my training. And if TriDot's saying, okay, you should be able to finish around here, maybe the goal isn't so much, okay, I have to be married to this certain time. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's knowing, okay, my body's capable of finishing in this range. And the better I execute, maybe it should be more of an execution goal. The better I execute my race plan, mm-hmm. you know, and thus the faster I finish, the happier I should walk away.
And the other thing is even taking a little higher approach is if that time is a goal, maybe it's a future goal. And as we discussed, having these intermediate goals to set that up, because your potential at a race 6 months from now is not the same as your potential at a race next year, 2 years, 3 years out. So again, it's going back and identifying if you're an hour slower than you want to be this year, what do you need to do to remove that hour? Is it recovery, strength training, weight loss, whatever the case may be? Use this year to set those goals for this year, so then next year you can approach that time-based goal that now is feasible.
So I think the last question I'm going to ask in the how section, we've been talking about how to accomplish our goals for a while now, because I think that's probably the biggest step, right? Well, once we know we need to identify goals. Once we know what our goals are, how do we get there? And we've been talking about that for a little bit. The last question I'll ask is this. What are maybe some of the best forms or guidelines? And a lot of these, you know, maybe we fill them out, you know, for our employer. Maybe we fill them out back in school when we were a student. You know, but there's all sorts of little forms that have fun little acronyms that can help you kind of think through your goals and write the SMART, SWOT, BHAG, you know, that there's some out there that people might be familiar with. But what is maybe a good worksheet if someone's looking to actually put their goals and how to achieve those goals down on paper?
So you touched on an important thing here that, I mean, there are a lot of resources available and there's a lot of great resources available. And I would say, you know, doing a Google search for goal setting worksheet is going to produce a number of results. And it's very likely that 90% of those are going to work. So, you know, take a look at what's there, find something that, you know, matches your style of planning and go with that. It's not as important with what worksheet you're using and, you know, what acronym is going to help you break down the steps in your goal. It's more important just to identify, you know, what is important to you and then the steps to achieve it along the way.
So I promised the people at the beginning that this would be the why, how, who, what, when of goal setting. So we've talked a lot about the why and the how. Let's move on to the who. You know, we know we're not supposed to be lone wolves on this. Who should we involve in our circle of trust, so to speak, on goal setting for our season?
I would say, you know, just to involve someone else. It doesn't have to be, you know, a particular person. Someone that has always been great for me is my coach, John. But, you know, if you're not working with a coach, that doesn't limit you. That doesn't limit you from involving someone else in this goal setting process. So you need, you know, some honesty, some accountability from somebody else. A coach is a great person to provide that, but you can still get high quality objective feedback from, you know, a spouse, a friend, a training partner. But I would certainly encourage involving someone else in that goal setting process.
So we talked a little bit about, you know, lifestyle goals and maybe some of the shorter term goals that will help us in the long term goals. And so maybe if I have a specific short term goal of I want to work in strength training, I want to clean up my diet, I want to improve my sleep patterns, is there maybe value in adding a who to my circle that's a specialist in those areas that can help me, you know, get to some of those short term goals?
Absolutely. So in this case, you know, whatever those are, there are folks out there that you can partner with that, one, you can have that goal, you can be accountable, they can help you set that goal. What is your reasonable, attainable objective in that? So, you know, things like I mentioned, weight loss, you know, maybe it's working with a dietitian.
Instead of Googling, like, how are easy ways to lose weight?
Yeah, but maybe even it's partnering with your partner. Your spouse to have this goal and say, hey, I need to, I have this goal to drop some weight. I need your buy-in with it. I mean, I know that's critical for me and my household is,
yeah.
You know, we're eating the same foods, going to the same restaurants. You know, when you're on the same page, it's better. Same thing like with even sleep. It's, you know, have the buy-in of your spouse if that's something
hey,
like
let's
that.
Go together. Let's go to bed early an hour.
Right. Because it's going to work better. You're going to set yourself up for success. It's going to be much more attainable if you have that buy-in of that person that's you know in it with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, consulting experts and coaches and that sort of thing, absolutely is a great idea to involve more of the who. So whether it be in the initial determining the goal and then also those execution and achieving of the goal, involve the people that you need to involve to again set yourself up for success.
I know in our household. We found very early in our marriage, like whatever we buy at the grocery store is going to get eaten. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't buy, you know, a lot of junk and a lot of sweets and snacks, it's not there to eat when you're snacky, right? So maybe for the Harleys, instead of buying the family size Cheez-It box, we should just buy the regular size.
100 calorie packs.
Help me not eat just a bunch of empty carbs. So, but anyway, so let's move on to the what in our goal setting. What do we do once the goals are set?
As much as I love setting the goals, this is the part that I get even more excited about because, you know, those goals are providing direction. And then from here, these are those actionable items, the steps that you get to take on a day-to-day basis to make progress toward those goals. One of the things that I think about a lot is just kind of this mastery mindset. And, you know, it involves shifting your focus from just achieving, you know, that one lofty goal that's out there 1 to 2 years from now to really executing on the process that gives you the best chance of improvement over time as you continue to strive toward that goal. So, you know, once those goals are set, then it is kind of the day-to-day process of thinking, what am I doing today to get closer to where I want to be in the future?
So there's the great saying, a goal without a plan is just a wish. And that's not what we're talking about here.
Ooh.
We're not. I didn't say that. And I just like,
John Mayfield, the scribe and poet,
quoted someone else in this. But that's so true. These are goals that we want to set. They're not wishes. So you know, the goal without the plan is the wish. So this is a critical component of setting the goal. Setting the goal is primary, but setting those action items to achieve it, having the plan to achieve it, is as important or more important. In setting yourself up for success.
So Elizabeth, I know for you, you know, becoming a pro wasn't an accident. I mean, nobody accidentally becomes a professional triathlete. So what was the what for you? What did you do once your goal was set to become a pro triathlete?
So it's interesting that you bring this up because, I mean, you're correct. Becoming a pro wasn't an accident. You know, it was years of consistently doing the right training right. and just the process of becoming better each day. What's kind of cool about, you know, this journey into racing as a pro is that though that was a goal, it didn't have a specific deadline. The goal was always just to better myself each day and to really evaluate how can I continue to make progress, maximize my potential, continue to enjoy training and racing, and really see what developed from there.
So as Elizabeth did approach this goal, she did those things that she mentioned. She consistently did the right training right. And as opportunities began to arise from that, she made those gains. She raced enough to gain the experience and really dial in the racing skill. And then as all of this kind of came to fruition, it became more strategic in where are the races that she could race that are going to provide her that opportunity. And then even as even in the weeds as during the race, what did she need to do in order to achieve that goal? And to her credit, you know, she was able to do it and achieve it. And going from a very high level down to very specific, very timely things, as far as years out, setting the goal to become a professional triathlete, to as minute as doing things within the actual race execution, to make it happen, all revolved around that goal, and all led to that, and we're all steps in the process of achieving that goal.
John, tell me for you, because for you, the what has kind of changed a little bit. Because your goals have kind of changed. And I think for every athlete out there, you know, we use Elizabeth as a great example of kind of what she did to accomplish that goal. But for every athlete listening, their goals are going to be a little bit different. And so the what day-to-day they need to be doing is beyond daily training is a little bit different. So in your own triathlon career, as a currently at the time we're recording this, a 6th Ironman finisher, and guys, John claims he's retired from the Ironman circuit. Elizabeth and I are telling him that the Ironman race course is far better with John Mayfield being a part of it. So when you see John, encourage him to go for number 7. We're all excited for the day that John comes to his senses and realizes he's not done yet. But for you, from Ironman 1 to Ironman 6, I've heard you talk a lot about how one of your big goals for an Ironman day, other than to finish it, is to enjoy the day, right? So how has that change in race day goals changed your what?
For me, it's more about mindset. And actually, to take a step back, I will do number 7 when you do number 2. So Andrew has also said he's going to be one and done on the Ironman course.
Touche.
So he's going to be in retirement soon as well. So maybe I'll do number 7 when you do number 2.
I'll see you on the other side. I'll see you on the retired side. Or
we can be like those old guys retired on the bench watching everybody else race Ironman.
We'll clean up on the 70.3 circuit.
but yeah, for me, it was throughout. Initially, it was kind of about completing, and then it was about competing. And towards the end, you know, it was much more of, I still wanted to be competitive. I still wanted to go out there and do the best I could.
And you were,
but the mindset shifted along the way too. And that's something that I've learned just from being around triathlon and Ironman specifically for a lot of years is, you know, it's too much work to not enjoy it. It's too much pain and discomfort and all the things we go through. So yeah, you know, I was able to shift that and, kind of develop that almost ancillary mindset of just enjoying it and being present and taking it all in.
And that kind of gets us to the next part, which is the when. And we really want to talk about, you know, when do we reevaluate our goals? When do we reassess, okay, this was the goal, this is where we're at, let's kind of reevaluate. And so John, that's a great example of doing that over the course of a Ironman career. So Elizabeth, for athletes out there who are in their season and whatever their goals are, at what point in the season is it appropriate for us to reevaluate our goals?
The reevaluation process should be held very regularly. I know that I had mentioned earlier how I have my athletes create some short and long-term goals. And so, you know, every few months, it would be ideal that, you know, one of those short-term goals had been realized. And it's time for us to reestablish what, you know, that new 3 to 6 months goal from that time frame would look like. So even though the beginning of the season is a very logical time to establish goals for the upcoming year, you know, this reevaluation process is an ongoing thing. And, you know, as a short-term goal has been accomplished, then that's a great time to really set up what the next short-term goal would be while continuing to look ahead toward those long-term goals and make some determinations of, you know, is this still something that interests me? Is this still something that excites me and motivates me? Is this still a realistic goal at this time frame? You know, did I make the progress that I was hoping to in these, you know, last few months to continue working toward that long-term goal? You know, this reevaluation process is very important, and it highlights the importance for us to be flexible about those goals. And as we're, you know, reviewing these goals often, I wouldn't say that it's beyond us to do this reevaluation process on a daily basis. You know, we've talked frequently about what are we doing today to get ourselves closer and closer toward those bigger goals that we have.
Yeah, and that's kind of the key question to really daily to evaluate is like, what am I doing today? Mm-hmm. I know what my goals are. What am I doing today to help me get to those goals? Because that's kind of the definition of being intentional with your sessions and with your time is thinking through intentionally, what am I doing today? So let me ask you guys this as coaches. When one of your athletes accomplishes a short or long-term goal, what do you do to celebrate? You said send them a fruit basket in the mail, give them a social media shout out.
I've never done the fruit basket.
Pop a bottle of champagne.
maybe I should. It runs the gamut, but you know, one of my favorite things is something that Elizabeth mentioned previously is asking the question of what next. I mean, what better time to set that next goal than right after the previous one is achieved? I mean, it's great context. You know, you've achieved the goal. You know what you're capable of, and want to go and find out what you're capable of next. I remember the first time I ever ended up on a podium at a race. It wasn't a goal to be on the podium. I just had a great race. I ended up on the podium, and I was like, wow, this is fantastic. This is fun. This is a lot more fun than
look
not
at all these people admiring my accomplishment.
So, you know, that became my new objective in racing.
Yeah.
Was I didn't even know that was a goal, but once I achieved it and experienced it, now that was my intent in racing. And it was for a number of years was to achieve that. So yeah, once a goal is achieved, it's a great time to set a new goal.
I'm going to give a quick shout out to my coach, Ryan Tibble, and let him know that when I accomplish my next goal, I expect flowers on my doorstep. So red roses from Coach Ryan Tibble. So, so final question. Now, this is actually kind of a bonus question. I wasn't planning on asking this. I promised the people that we would cover the why, how, who, what, when. But I can't walk away without the last one is the where. And I mean, obviously the where should be the bubble bath, right? I should draw myself a nice long bubble bath, settle in and ponder my goals for the season, right?
Well, I was actually thinking most of my life impacting decisions are probably made on the toilet. So maybe there was
so,
a great
we have a common bathroom theme here to our goal setting.
That's kind of what made me think of it. You know, Facebook posts and life decisions are both on the toilet. There was a great movie back in the day. It was like an 80s comedy, and it was like this con man. I can't think even who was in it or what the title was, but he came up with this concept of advertising on the back of the door of the toilet stalls.
Yeah.
And he said, I remember the quote was, decisions aren't made in the boardroom, they're made in the bathroom.
Yes.
Maybe there's something to that. I think it was a Dana Carvey movie back in like the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, I know all the random warm-up questions I ask you guys on the podcast, I usually come up with, not in the bathroom, I guess maybe a few, but usually it's on my bike trainer rides. You know, I've got an hour in a Zone 2 Thursday ride, and I just sit there. What ridiculous triathlon-based questions can I ask them next? So I guess the where, if we were really asking that question, the where could really be anywhere.
I mean,
inspiration, an idea. You know, you could be on a long run and kind of think to yourself, or you could be in the pool in the swim and realize, hey, maybe a goal for me this year should be, you know, cleaning up my swim a little bit. I mean, the where for where the inspiration from a goal can come from could kind of be anywhere, right?
Absolutely.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
After all that talk about setting and working towards goals in triathlon and in life, I just wanted to take a moment and cool us down today real simply by introducing you to three tools that you can potentially use to help you crush through your goals. Now, I'm not a goal setter by default, so when researching a little bit for this show, I was reminded of a few goal-empowering tools that I've used in the past and some new ones that really intrigued me. And just to close this out today, I want to briefly highlight a few of these. Now, none of these people or companies asked me to talk about their products. This is all just straight up 100% genuine endorsement of a few things that I just found really interesting that you can check out and see if they might be helpful to you accomplishing your own goals. So the first goal empowering tool I want to introduce you to is the Finish Calendar. The Finish Calendar is a very big and very fantastic wall calendar that shows you the entire year laid out in one place. It was created by John Acuff, a New York Times best-selling author, conference speaker, and expert in setting and finishing goals. Now, I discovered his Finish Calendar when I worked in television. We use a number of computer-based productivity tools to just keep track of when shows were taping, when they were airing, and what still needed to be done to help them along. And these online tools were really great, but on your computer screen, it can be really hard to see a macro view of the entire year at one time, and that's where John Acuff's Finish Calendar comes in. As a TV producer, it helps me track show air dates, but as a triathlete, it can paint a very real and motivating picture of how close or how far away you are to those race days. I also like that I can put down key dates in my personal life as well, things like family vacations, weddings we plan to attend, work functions, church events, date nights, et cetera, anything that me and my wife have going on in our personal lives so that I can really see what key training days are likely to be impacted by other events. Now, there's a paper version, but I really like the dry erase version that can easily allow you to erase and tweak key events and races as needed. So you can buy your own Finish 2020 wall calendar at finishcalendar.com. And it's just a really great way to see your entire year at one time on the wall with all your goals, start dates, and due dates all in one place. The second goal-empowering tool I want to give a shout-out to is the Life Cycle app. There are plenty of apps that allow you to make to-do lists or track tasks that need to be completed en route to accomplishing a major goal, but the Life Cycle app is designed to track your time. Listen, y'all, I'm a creative, so I can be a daydreamer. I can get sidetracked from my day's kind of big-ticket assignments by much smaller and less significant tasks that maybe are a little bit more interesting in the moment. If I'm not careful, I can get to the end of a day and have 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there that I really just didn't capitalize on. So the Life Cycle app really lets you categorize your day. And with a few visits to the app during the day, you can track how you're using and spending your time. And more importantly, where you're kind of maybe wasting it. Using this app, I found really quick where those few visits to Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, et cetera, can add up to enough wasted time that I could have used some of that time towards maybe an extra 30 minutes of stretching, maybe an extra 30 minutes of working or just relaxing, hanging out with my wife, or 30 minutes of making and drinking more coffee. So spend your time on the things that matter to you. By searching for the Life Cycle app in your phone app store to see if it's available and a good fit for you. The final goal empowering tool I want to talk about is maybe a little less tangible. Maybe to help your goals, you need a new subscription. There are a lot of services you can sign up for at $5 to $20-ish a month that can help you get where you're going sometimes. Now, this is purposefully a little vague because it really depends on your goal. Like maybe if you want to really dial in your day-to-day eating habits this year, maybe this is downloading a nutrition tracking app like MyFitnessPal or Chronometer, and maybe paying a few bucks a month to track your macro and your micronutrients and your calorie intake. Maybe you're like me, and outside of the swim, bike, and run, you really want to build some functional strength and flexibility this year. And so maybe this is $20, 20 pounds, 20 euros for a basic gym membership that gets you access to some weights. Or even a membership to a yoga or a stretching studio that can really help you increase your flexibility. And of course, I have to plug this one. If you aren't using TriDot's optimized training and you're getting ready for that A race this year all on your own, maybe this is $9.99 a month for a subscription to TriDot. I'm a company man, so I had to plug TriDot, y'all. Head to TriDot.com for more info about how we can optimize your triathlon training. But whatever your goal is, see if there is a service out there. See if there's a small ticket subscription that you can invest in using that can help you stick to some of your goals that maybe you just haven't had the tenacity to do all on your own. Well, that's it for today, folks. I want to thank coaches John Mayfield and Elizabeth James for talking about effective goal setting. Shout out to Tri-Bike Transport for partnering with us on today's episode. Are you enjoying the podcast? Do you have any topics or questions that you want to hear us talk about? Head to tridot.com/podcast and click on the submit feedback button to let us know what you're thinking. We'll do it again soon. Until then, happy training.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize